From your world news headquarters on the World Wide Web, it's time for your daily dose of sanity. This is the Maria Heller Show. Maria Heller is a published author, founder of the Universal Wheel, a lifestyle and philosophy based on our interconnectedness to all living things, a Reiki master, and delivers the news with spiritual views. How many intuitive news decoders, animal rights activists, and vegetarian broadcasters are there? Just one, Maria. Maria has provided independent news for a smart audience for over 13 years now on the Maria Heller Show, available at maria.net.
M-E-R-I-A.net.
And now, here is your host, the mouth that roars, Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to the Blasted News Show. And as usual, there's plenty of news and the illusion that we all live under. And the illusion just seems to get worse and worse as they strive to hold on to the last gasp of power they've had over billions of people for way too long. So I've got lots of news for you today. And next week, Joe Anthony's back for Stars R Us. Let's take a look at the month of March. Let's hope it's a little bit better than so far, the way this year has kicked off. Anyway, lots of stuff in the news, so I'm going to get to it. Just got this. It's breaking news alert. Argentine judge rejects criminal case against the president. The judge dismissed the criminal allegations against President Cristina Fernandez de Kirchner that's been brought by Alberto Nisman, the prosecutor who accused her of conspiring to shield Iranian officials from responsibility for the deadly bombing of a Buenos Aires cultural center in 1994. I think that from what I've put together, this president was obviously being set up, and I always figure the finger of the Mossad and CIA is behind every story like that. What else is new? Saw a report this morning that said the NSA spying has certainly hurt the tech business in this country, with a lot of countries, including China, refusing to buy technology from the United States. So way to go there. Anyway, let's get over to those fake ISIS videos and beheadings. The terrorist in the ISIS videos has been identified as a British national. Remember, most of these guys speak perfect English or have an American accent. The man in the black balaclava who seemed to have beheaded several foreign hostages in videos has been identified by British security services as Mohammed Emwazi, a British national from London. He grew up in Queen's Park, West London. He graduated from the University of Westminster with a degree in computer programming. He first appeared in Islamic State videos in August when he appeared to behead the American journalist James Foley. But of course, we never got to see the actual execution, and I guess they used a lot of green screen in that one. Meanwhile, back at Fukushima, they say they're in absolute shock. Nuclear waste on the roof of Fukushima's reactor is flowing directly into the Pacific. Officials kept a secret for the past year and did nothing to stop it. They've done nothing to stop it for 4 years now. Anyway, scientist Gunderson said reactor pressure got so high it blew the top off, and the amount of the leak is unknown. It says the fallout is far from over, and international fury is rising. Well, how about international cooperation to try to figure out how to stop the worst nuclear event of our history? Guess that hasn't crossed anybody's minds. So let's get over to Governor Scott Walker and his latest, I'm sure, dictum from God, since he has conversations with God, but he can't provide any evidence of it. Wisconsin GOP lawmakers walked out of a public meeting this week to escape the public outcry against the right-to-work bill. Right to work means you have the right to work for peanuts with absolutely no decent pay and no coverages or nothing else. Critics accusing the Wisconsin lawmakers, Republicans, of trumping up an excuse to cut short public comments opposing a right to work bill supported, of course, by Governor Scott Walker and his handlers, the Koch brothers. GOP members of the state Senate Labor Committee cut the hearing short on the measure, Senate Bill 44, and approved it in a 3-1 vote. It passed in the Senate, and it's expected to be passed in the Republican-dominated State Assembly next week. Walker said he'll sign it into law. Footage posted online showed the legislators leaving their chambers, more like fleeing their chambers, with police escort, 40 minutes early, while the protesters chanted, "Let us speak," booed them, and called them cowards. Committee members cited a credible threat to their safety as the reason for ending the meeting earlier. Not because they haven't listened to their voters, but it's a credible threat to their safety. Isn't that what cops use right before they murder you? The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reported that 180 people were cut off from commenting due to the abrupt end to the meeting. Opponents of the bill seem to constitute the majority of the audience inside the chamber, while a larger protest of about 1,800 people were standing outside the state capitol. Only 28 people, by the way, were supporting it. But I guess when the Koch brothers tell you to do their dance, you do their dance, Scott Walker, don't you? So again, for people who think your vote matters, your voice doesn't matter either. You are now just chattel, and that's all it is. All right, freezing cold out in lots of places, but I guess Toronto's gotten quite the deep freeze. The coldest February since 1934 has left thousands of Toronto homes without water since a cold snap started 2 weeks ago. And Canada's largest city, Toronto, the people there have been urged to use hair dryers and warm towels to try to thaw their frozen pipes. 2 weeks, no water. Meanwhile, more than 70 cars were involved in a pileup on a snowy Maine interstate this week. More than 70 cars outside Bangor, Maine on Wednesday. At least 17 people were injured, two of them seriously. So, baby, it's cold outside. I understand some scientists are concerned that the sun is not having any activity, and oops, we might be entering a new ice age. So much for that one, Al Gore. All right, let's get over to some earthquakes since Monday. Sulusi in the Philippines had a 5.5 yesterday, and the Aizu Islands outside Japan had a 5.7. I know Japan also had a 6.2, so Fukushima is going to just keep shaking and baking the planet. Meanwhile, closer to home, Fox out of L.A. reported dead sea lions littering Malibu beaches and families being shocked seeing them. Meanwhile, babies are being eaten by birds, and so many 911 calls about dying animals are being phoned in that it's bogging down the system. Scientists say this year is the worst in history, and they tell us that major changes are going on out in the ocean. But hey, it's going to be a mystery. They're never going to connect it to Fukushima because they want to pretend that isn't happening. So let's get over to election integrity for the United States as we continue to sink lower and lower in the rankings. So far, electoral integrity in the United States has been ranked 45th amongst 107 nations, the worst of established democracies. New Harvard University of Sydney survey finds elections in the U.S. ranked just below Mexico and just above Barbados. Electoral integrity hasn't improved in the U.S. over the past year. In fact, elections in Mexico have more integrity than ours, according to the new survey based on the observations of 1,400 international election experts. Last year, the report by Harvard and the University of Sydney found the U.S. ranking 26th. Since then, we're 45. That finding places the U.S. in the category of nations with moderate election integrity, ranking the country one drop above Mexico, one notch below Micronesia. Well, this year's new Electoral Integrity Project report is now out. It takes into account the 2014 midterm elections that cost billions of dollars and more elections in a number of additional countries. The U.S. fell a few pegs from its 26th place ranking in last year's report. Contests in the U.S. scored the worst performance amongst any long-established democracy. The 2012 presidential election was ranked 42nd worldwide, while the 2014 midterm was ranked 45th, similar to Colombia and Bulgaria. Yeah, we're number one, all right. Our reason is that experts express growing concern over U.S. electoral laws and processes of voter registration, The study cited U.S. voter registration in particular as a concern and cited new laws regarding access to the polls as increasingly polarized and litigious ever since the 2000 Florida debacle. Remember the stolen election of 2000? Well, we've paid for that one for the past 15 years and way into the future. America suffers from exceptionally partisan and decentralized arrangements for electoral administration, according to the study, which finds that recent Supreme Court decisions, hello, Citizens United, suggest that the role of money in American politics deserves more detailed scrutiny. But that won't come until we're all living in Brave New World. Meanwhile, the Department of Homeland Security, will it be shut down? Won't it be shut down? I say for all the use it does. They can't catch a terrorist if they found them in bed with their wives when they went home from work. Why not shut it down? Just another waste of money, more Hitlerian propaganda and control over the people. With the DHS shutdown, contractors will face stop work orders, late payments, as Congress continues to debate whether or not to fund Homeland Security. The DHS is mainly focused on the effect that a shutdown would have on employees, with as many as 80% still required to come to work without pay, and another 30,000 furloughed. Service providers and suppliers of Homeland Security don't get paid during the period of the shutdown because there's no money or because of their ability to process payments being furloughed. The Department of Homeland Security, of course, has no comment on what they do in case of a shutdown. But obviously, treasonous Boehner, who's in bed with Netanyahu, wants the Department of Homeland Security unfunded. And yet Republicans continue to use their, oh, we have to be safe bullcrap for everything else they waste our money on. Okay, and quicker than you can say guilty, Eddie Ray Routh, a mentally disturbed veteran who killed Chris Kyle, the former Navy SEAL marksman, former CEO of Kraft International, who the movie American Sniper was based on, is scheduled to be sentenced to life in prison. The jury found him guilty of murder Tuesday in 2 hours, rejecting his claims he was legally insane at the time. Well, I would think anybody coming back from the war is going to be legally insane. Routh and his lawyers argued he wasn't guilty by reason of insanity and that he should be in a state mental hospital, like a lot of our veterans who are instead on the streets or in prison. The 2-week trial for the killings of Mr. Kyle and his friend, Mr. Kyle's friend, Chad Littlefield, centered on Routh's state of mind. Jurors had to decide whether Routh's erratic behavior, his delusions about hybrid pig people, wow, that reminded me when I saw that of an old Seinfeld show about the pig man. And his heavy drug use were proof of insanity, evidence he was troubled but criminally responsible, or signs he was faking mental illness to avoid prison. Well, the death penalty's off the table. Routh was guilty, they say, of capital murder, which leaves him only life in prison without parole. And the judge was preparing to issue it minutes after the jury's decision was announced. But, you know, the murderers of Americans on the street every day by rogue cops, don't even get indicted, let alone convicted. And those cases can drag out for months like Michael Brown's case did. And there you have it. God bless America, everybody. Land of the free, or as I like to say, land of the freaks and home of the slaves. Meanwhile, Bill Gates, the eugenicist, says life would be better with a world government. How much better does life have to get for him? In a recent interview with a German publication, Gates made disturbing comments in favor of world government. Not only did he advocate global government, but also spoke favorably of the UN and NATO, completely overlooking that they're a major force of oppression in the world. NATO can't even hold a meeting without thousands of people protesting them in the streets. And someone as heavily involved in world affairs as Gates should know all about it. Well, here's some of what Gates had to say. Take the UN. It's been created especially for the security in the world. Well, obviously, they failed at that. He said, we're ready for war because we've taken every precaution. We have NATO, we have divisions, jeeps, trained people, but what is with epidemics? How many doctors do we have? As much planes, tents, what scientists? If there was such a thing as a world government, we would be better prepared. Not long ago, this subject was considered a conspiracy theory, but now one of the richest people in the world is openly suggesting this is a good idea. Governments are generally a pretty bad idea. Even when they're small, they do a tremendous amount of damage. But when a government rules the entire planet, there's no telling what type of atrocities it'll be capable of. And that's the truth of it, since we have the worst of the worst among us ruling over us. So let's get down to psychotic Oklahoma. I just don't know what's going on in this country. Oklahoma Republicans are advancing a bill to allow abusive gay conversion therapy, even though the guy that invented it said it was a mistake and horror. A lot of other states have given it up. You can't change somebody's sexuality. But in Oklahoma, the hateful anti-gay lawmakers strike again. Republican State Representative Sally Kern, notorious for being one of the nation's most hateful anti-gay lawmakers, in 2011, she said homosexuality is more dangerous than terrorism because it's more present in our day-to-day lives. Really, I know of a lot of homosexuals that get murdered in this country because of religious fanatics, but I haven't seen them murder too many people. But yet she compares them to terrorists, saying they're worse. Meanwhile, she successfully managed to win a number of her colleagues over to her view. Her bill, which would allow the abusive practice of gay conversion therapy, was successfully passed out of the Oklahoma Home, Children, Youth, and Family Services Committee by a 5-3 vote, which means it goes to the full House. One of the opponents of the bill is the LGBT rights group Freedom Oklahoma. Its executive director, Troy Stevenson, said the bill had been changed to prohibit therapy that causes physical pain when a legislator has to amend a bill because its previous versions include a carte blanche to inflict physical pain and electroshock therapy on children. You know we have a problem at the Capitol. Well, why not just chemically castrate them too, like they did to the star of the movie Imitation Game? We are moving backwards. I see no sign of human evolution on this planet. It just continues to be devolution, in my opinion. The remarks by Susan Rice this week, the Obama aide, national security advisor, were the administration's strongest public rebuke since Netanyahu agreed to speak to Congress. She called Netanyahu's planned visit destructive to U.S.-Israeli ties. Well, how about we tie off the money we send them every day and put it here on the homeless and the veterans living in the street, getting beat up and slapped down by cops for trying to use a public restroom? All right, let's get over to Mayor of Chicago, Rahm Emanuel, a dual citizen with Israel and a known Zionist. Well, it looks like he got a little shockaroo on his supposed re-election. Despite support from local black and Latino politicians, former Obama chief of staff, he leaves being the president's chief of staff to be a mayor of Chicago. Think about that. Rahm Emanuel failed to win re-election as Chicago mayor. He's now facing an April 7th runoff election against Jesus Garcia, a longtime community activist who was part of the Harold Washington team in 1983 and 87. Anti-Rahm turnout was boosted by public outrage at school closings and other privatizations, an advisory referenda on an elected school board. And that's without the black site for Americans that's just been revealed by The Guardian in the UK in Chicago. I have that story too. This is, we are beyond McCarthyism at this point now. We're entering whole new waters. Meanwhile, the U.S. Department of Justice, which of course is always injustice in, you know, in 1984 Orwellian speak, and the Commodity Futures Trading Commission are investigating at least 10 major banks for possible rigging of precious metals markets. What else is new? It's all rigged, all of it. All right, let's get over to D.C., where the mayor of D.C. has been threatened with arrest for legalizing marijuana. As of today, it's legal in D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser said pot will be legal in D.C. as of 12:01 a.m. Thursday, and that means possession and use of small amounts of marijuana by adults in the district are legal. And she dismissed congressional Republican threats of severe penalties, including being arrested. We know the residents of the District of Columbia spoke loud and clear last November when they adopted Initiative 71 to legalize small amounts of marijuana in Washington, D.C. This is Bowser facing the first major test of her first term. She said, our government is prepared to implement and enforce Initiative 71 in the District of Columbia. As for the possibility of jail time, Bowser said, I have a lot of things to do in the District of Columbia, and me being in jail wouldn't be a good thing. U.S. Representative Jason Chaffetz of Utah, Republican, said that D.C. leaders may face jail time if they proceed with what he and several of his holier-than-thou colleagues have deemed a willful violation of federal law. Well, I thought the District of Columbia was a sovereign state. Given Congress's broad powers to legislate with regard to the District of Columbia, it would be unprecedented for the district to take actions prescribed by legislation passed by Congress and signed by the president, he said, and of course backed by all Republicans. And there you have it. Isn't that a special guy? What are they so afraid of? It might cut into their alcohol shares that they're probably invested in and probably, you know, drink themselves to death, because they all look like a bunch of alkies to me. Meanwhile, the winter mix in the U.S. South has been snarling traffic, closing school. It looks like there's no end to winter. Snow and ice turned highways across the South into parking lots Tuesday and caused schools to close, while hundreds of crashes on slick roads created havoc for commuters. Man, when the weather's like that, if you can stay home is the answer. Why take your life in your hands for a job that your boss probably doesn't care whether you live or die? This is a conversation I have with young people all the time, telling them that, you know, employers today have no loyalty to their employees. It's not like when I was a young girl. So you need to not have any loyalty to them either. They're paying you minimum wage. They don't give you time off when you're sick. You have no insurance. So why get yourself in a traffic accident for their $8 an hour? That's my thought on that. You know, I guess the good times aren't rolling anymore in America. All right, let's see what else we've got. Let's get over to Obama, even though a lot of people are under the misconception that the Keystone Pipeline issue is now gone because he vetoed it. And of course he gets kudos for that. He did veto the bill on Tuesday to approve construction of the pipeline, but he didn't veto the permits for it. So this no isn't a permanent no, so we still have to keep watching it. By saying no to the legislation, Obama retained the authority to make a final judgment on the pipeline on his own timeline. The White House said the president would decide whether to allow the pipeline when all the environmental and regulatory reviews are complete. But the veto, which is his first rejection of major legislation, is also a demonstration of political strength directed at Republicans who now control both chambers of Congress. And Obama said he'll fight back against their agenda. Meanwhile, his veto, again, doesn't mean the fight is over. The State Department still has to rule on the pipeline, and theoretically, the pipeline battle could find its way to the Supreme Court, which is bought and sold by big oil. So, nothing seems to change. Just a little fluff for the people to keep you happy while they try to control the internet and everything else right under your noses. Okay, let's get over to the FCC expected to enforce net neutrality, and the Republicans are conceding, which means, something's afoot. Last April, a dozen New York-based internet companies gathered in the Flatiron building to hear dire warnings that broadband providers were about to get the right to charge for faster speeds on the web, and that if they didn't pay, they'd be stuck in the slow lane. Well, what's followed has been the longest, most sustained campaign of internet activism in history. They say one, the little guys appear to have won. Well, I don't know about you, but take a look at your phone bill and other regulated utilities. On Thursday, the FCC is expected to vote to regulate the internet as a public good. Well, on Tuesday, Senator John Thune, a Republican from South Dakota, all but surrendered his efforts to overturn the coming ruling, conceding Democrats are lining up with Obama in favor of the FCC. Well, I say when it looks good, it probably isn't. Okay, let's see what else we've got here. Here's an anomaly. I found this story very interesting, especially since we're less than 2 weeks away from scientists turning on CERN to try to recreate the Big Bang. So in 2 weeks, we could all be so long suckers. But this is interesting. Got this off Space Weather. February 23rd to 24th, observers across the western half of North America witnessed a spectacular cluster of bright lights in the sky. And I know there were a lot of reports, even in Florida, seeing this. But it was the re-entry and disintegration of a Chinese rocket body. Coincidentally, a geomagnetic storm, coincidentally, was in progress at the time, and more than one photographer caught the rocket's debris cutting across the northern lights. So what goes up must come down, and they don't tell you really where any of those pieces showed up. I don't know if they all disintegrated like the World Trade Center, but anything is possible. All right, let's see what else we've got. Let's get over to that anti-union bill from Scott Walker, a man who talks and walks with God. Wisconsin's anti-union bill is word for word from the right-wing lobbying group ALEC. Scott Walker, considering the run for president, has promised to sign into law an anti-union bill targeted at the state's private sector workers that's almost word for word a copy of model legislation devised by an ultra-right-wing network of corporate lobbyists. And the Koch brothers move on and over everybody in America. And eventually it's all going to be slave labor, and you might have a state card that'll tell you when you can eat and when you can't, and that'll be the way it'll go, and everybody will still be on their cell phones playing little applications on their phones while the world burns. Anyway, I'm going to take a short break. I'll be right back. Got lots more news, so stay with me.
Wow. One solid hour of commercial-free information thanks to you. The person who wants truth has the integrity and understanding to support it with your donation and subscription. Greer believes people can handle the truth and delivers it tirelessly with those with ears to listen. 14 years on the net. Won't you take a moment right now to commit to a subscription of your choice at www.maria.net. That's M-E-R-I-A.net. Over 1,100 hours of pure education all in one place, 24/7 and all downloadable. Knowledge is power. Sharing that knowledge is wisdom. Together we can change the world and create real hope. Now let's get back to the Maria Heller Show.
Okay, welcome back to the Blasted News, and if you're new to the show, please check out the site, maria.net, and take a look at what I've got in the archives. It's an outstanding education on everything you didn't want to know, but you need to know. Otherwise, you're in the dark like most people are. Let's get down to Australia Down Under. Your Prime Minister, Tony Abbott, what did he come out with this week? He said, civil liberties must be sacrificed to protect from attacks. Personal freedoms will need to be redrawn, according to Tony Abbott, who talked tough on security Monday after the release of a report on the handling of a deadly siege at a Sydney cafe. Remember, this is the old problem, reaction, solution. They create the problem, they watch your reaction, and then they're going to come in and save you by taking your freedom away. We've seen it here, we see it all over, we'll see it in France, we'll see it in Copenhagen, and now you're seeing it down under. It's everywhere. When people say, oh, Maria, where can I move? How can I get out of this country? It's everywhere. Understand, this is a worldwide plan. All right, an 80-year-old grandmother bringing cupcakes to her granddaughter at school was brutalized by a policeman this week. A Clovis Unified School cop nearly killed Mary Poole last April in Clovis, California, near Fresno. So I guess this week is when the story's been popping all over social media. If people didn't know any better, they'd be compelled to think that death for Mary was the goal of the officer. Well, now she's filing a lawsuit for the gratuitous manhandling that resulted from her trying to bring treats to her grandchildren to have after school. She's been their legal guardian for a number of years. Grandma, at 78 years old, is 5 foot tall, 110 pounds, And what they did to her is unspeakable. They, first of all, the cop pepper sprayed her, threw her down and beating that dislocated her shoulder and cost her over $180,000 of medical bills. No one in their right mind would expect the victim of a violent attack to pay for it in modern day America. But why is this the case? Because this is modern day America. The newest trend in police state brutality involves school cops. Their programmed squabblers on social media offer justification for her just desserts, saying that because of a court order, she gets a beating. What kind of a man beats a woman of any size and stature, let alone a 78-year-old grandma with cupcakes? So I'm glad she's suing them, but the bottom line is we pay, taxpayers pay these claims. We're the ones that get stuck paying for the domestic terrorist in blue. And they get a little paid vacation, or they might actually resign, but they never go to jail. Well, if somebody assaulted my grandma or your grandma, what would you want to see happen? All right, 14 signs that most Americans are flat broke and totally unprepared for the coming economic crisis. This was off Activist Post. More than half the country is going to be financially wiped out in weeks when the next economic crisis hits. Right now, more than 60% of all Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. 24% has more credit card debt than emergency savings. And here's the list. Number one, according to a survey just released, 24% of all Americans have more credit card debt than savings. Number two, the same survey said an additional 13% of all Americans don't have any credit card debt. But they don't have a single penny of emergency savings either. How can you save on slave wages? Number three, 62% of all Americans are living paycheck to paycheck. Here's some statistics you can, you know, entertain your friends with this weekend. Adults under the age of 35 in the U.S. currently have a savings rate of negative 2%. More than half of all students in U.S. public schools come from families poor enough to qualify for school lunch subsidies. I'm up to six. A study conducted last year found that more than one out of every three adults in the U.S. has an unpaid debt in collections. 52% really can't even financially afford the homes they're living in right now. And according to research conducted by Atif Mian of Princeton University, 40% of Americans couldn't come up with $2,000 right now without borrowing it. The same study found 60% of Americans couldn't say yes to the following question. Do you have 3 months emergency funds to cover your expenses in case of sickness, job loss, or economic downturn? 60% don't. A different study said less than one out of every four Americans has enough money stored away to cover 6 months of expenses. Today, the average American household is carrying a grand total of $203,163 of debt. It's estimated less than 10% of the entire U.S. population owns any gold or silver for investment purposes. Of course not. The 10% is the top 10%. Are the people that own most of all investments. 48% of all Americans don't have any emergency supplies in their homes at all. And 53% of all Americans don't even have a minimum 3-day supply of non-perishable food and water in their homes. And that's the way they like it. Okay, so you can cry like the people after Katrina for your government to save you when the cops will open fire on you as you try to get out of a terror zone that was Katrina. Oh, yeah, I know a lot of what I say to new people is probably shocking, and they say, wow, that's crazy. That couldn't have happened, because no one wants to pay attention, and that's why this is happening. So let's get over to the secret interrogation facility, Gitmo, in Chicago, which reveals aspects of the war on terror happening in America. The article appeared in The Guardian in the UK, not in Chicago, where Rahm Emanuel wants to continue this Hitlerian thing going on. Chicago Police Department operates an off-the-books interrogation compound, which basically means a black site, rendering Americans unable to be found by their family or attorneys while locked inside. What lawyers say is the domestic equivalent of a CIA black site. kind of reminds me of the Muslim roundup after 9/11 and how all those people, thousands of them, disappeared and their families couldn't find them. The facility is a nondescript warehouse on Chicago's west side known as Holman Square. It's long been the scene of secretive work by special police units. Interviews with local attorneys and one protester who spent the better part of a day shackled in Holman Square describes operations that deny access to basic constitutional rights. Alleged police practices there, according to people familiar with the facility, who spoke out to The Guardian after their investigation into Chicago police abuse, include, think this, this is America 2015, not making this up, folks, keeping arrestees out of official booking databases, beatings by police resulting in head wounds, shackling for prolonged periods, denying attorneys access to the secure facility, holding people without legal counsel for between 12 and 24 hours, including kids as young as 15. One man found unresponsive in a Holman Square interview room, later pronounced dead. Holman Square, definitely an unusual place. It brings to mind the interrogation facilities they use in the Middle East. The CIA calls them black sites. It's a domestic black site. When you go in, no one knows what's happened to you. The V for Vendetta. The secretive warehouse is the latest example of Chicago police practices that echo the much-criticized detention abuses of the U.S. war on terrorism. While those abuses impacted people overseas, Holman Square, said to house military-style vehicles, interrogation cells, and even a cage, trains its focus on Americans, most often poor, black, and brown. Unlike a precinct, no one taken to Holman Square is said to be booked. Witnesses, suspects, or other Chicagoans who end up inside don't appear to have a public searchable record entered into a database indicating where they are, as happens when someone's booked at a precinct. Lawyers and relatives insist there's no way of finding their whereabouts. Those lawyers who've attempted to gain access to Holman Square are most often turned away, even with their clients in custody inside. The Chicago Police Department hasn't responded to any of the Guardian's questions, neither about any aspects of operations there or the Guardian's investigation of Richard Zuli, the retired Chicago detective turned Guantanamo Bay torturer. This, if it's happening in Chicago, you can bet that it's happening in other places in the United States. Is this the United States you signed up to live in? Is this the United States our founding fathers created? Or is this the United States as a result of Project Paperclip bringing the Nazis in here after World War II? Are they still on a Nazi agenda? Oh, if that's surprising to you, you haven't listened to this show long enough. All right, let's get over to George Zimmerman. How many times does he have to get arrested and gets away with it? And nothing's going to happen to him until he kills a white person. That's my opinion. The Department of Justice, for all their flair, oh, we're going to conduct our own investigation against George Zimmerman, blah, blah, blah. Remember, investigation in Orwellian speak means cover up. The Department of Justice is not moving forward with any federal hate crimes charges against George Zimmerman. He will not face civil rights charges for killing 17-year-old Trayvon Martin 3 years ago. They figure 3 years later, no one cares because everybody's got the attention span of a gnat in this country. The Department of Justice said there's not enough evidence to move forward with federal hate crimes charges against Zimmerman after conducting scores of interviews about his actions and character. The decision not to charge Zimmerman now closes the investigation. So Trayvon Martin is dead. Zimmerman is still out there threatening and menacing and getting arrested. And there you have it. There is no justice in this country, and people need to figure that out right away. All right, got this article off Alternet. Not a surprise to me. Pot is 114 times safer than booze, according to new research. They found that pot is the least deadly amongst recreational drugs by far. The report was done by the journal Scientific Reports and found that marijuana is far safer than any other recreational drug, including and especially alcohol. maybe 114 times safer than booze, according to the researchers. The study sought to quantify the risk of death associated with the use of common recreational drugs. Alcohol, they found, was the deadliest substance, followed by heroin and cocaine, and yet alcohol you can buy anywhere, even in a gas station. The safest drug was marijuana. It was also the only drug in the study that had a low mortality risk for users. They maintain that past research into alcohol has systematically been underestimating the risk associated with its use, and yet it's glorified on TV and everywhere and happy hours and all the rest. The risk of cannabis may have been overestimated in the past, said the researchers. In contrast, the risk of alcohol may have been commonly underestimated. No kidding. All right, looks like the George Bush family Carlyle Group is pulling all their money out, and so are all the other criminals. The Wall Street Journal reported investors withdrew billions from a Carlyle Group-owned hedge fund in the past few months, when the fund's holdings were in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, posted big losses. Problem, reaction, solution, my friends. This is how the big rich people manipulate the markets. Claren Rose Asset Management seen redemptions of more than $2 billion since October, when its investments in the mortgage giants delivered significant losses. Carlyle's one of the number of buyout firms that's moved into the hedge fund arena. When that bubble bursts, the entire world economy's going with it. Carlyle executives said during a call earlier this month they remain confident in their hedge fund investments in spite of the losses of Claren Road. And there you go. The rich get richer and the poor get screwed. Okay, one thing I lack is a Cadillac, and if you're driving a Cadillac, pay attention. Recall, General Motors, I mean, everything they make, they recall, is recalling 67,000 Cadillac ATS compact sports sedans to fix a problem with the power sunroof controls. This is any Cadillac from 2013 to 2015. They say the sunroofs can automatically close if the non-recessed switches are even partly touched. It's being done because the switches can be activated with less force than allowed under federal safety standards. So get your fingers out of the way, folks, or they might be gone. Looks like McDonald's, since people are getting hep to the garbage food they put in it, and how unhealthy fast food is in general, which has taken a beating in their sales all around the world, well, that should only be their problem in Brazil, because they're getting sued in Brazil. Brazilian labor union suing McDonald's and its local franchisee, Arcos Dourados, for allegedly violating labor laws for at least 30 years. They filed a suit Monday in Brasilia, seeking to prevent McDonald's from opening new stores until it complies with legislations and asked that it be slapped with penalties of up to 30% of its revenue in Brazil. Love it. The suit was spearheaded by the Union for Fast Food Workers. They said the defendants have violated minimum wage laws, committed time card fraud, failed to pay overtime, denied employees regular schedules, and used underage workers amongst other illegal actions. Arcos Dourado said by email they hadn't been notified of the lawsuit and that all their labor practices conform to Brazilian legislation. Sure they do, and I'm sure they do here too, just like Walmart. All right, school surveillance is now the norm in U.S. and U.K., which prepares our children for the school-to-prison pipeline and a police state, but it's also on the rise in Australia. This according to a University of Adelaide criminologist, and they said such practices are becoming increasingly popular in Australian schools. Associate Professor Andrew Hope's research into school-based surveillance in the UK, USA, Europe, and Australia was published in the British Journal of Sociology of Education. He says, while the school surveillance revolution is fundamentally fueled by concerns about the safety and well-being of staff and students, these initiatives threaten the inherent nature of schooling. An estimated 1.28 million students are fingerprinted in the UK. There's an excess of 106,000 closed-circuit cameras installed in English, Welsh, and Scotland secondary schools, And students in a USA high school use pedometers to ensure they meet their gym class physical activity requirement. In most cases, school surveillance initiatives are introduced to protect students. And while the safety of kids is important, hello, we've all gone to school in America for 200 years without any of this crap, he said we mustn't lose sight of their rights to privacy. Excessive use of surveillance devices can threaten the values of a progressive education, undermine trust, stigmatize individuals, and limit the potential for student engagement. Well, but it's going to happen, Brave New World. If you never read it by Huxley, it's time to crash course that book, too. U.S. Free Press freezes the story and doesn't put it in about Italy's court ruling that vaccines cause autism. I understand Andrew Wakefield is on his way to Oregon to testify about it, and that guy's a hero. I'm so glad I had him on my show. The archive of that show is still here on site. But have you heard this story anywhere on the news, on TV, or your newspaper? And why not? Why not? Because they want us to give up all rights to our children and just let them vaccine them into oblivion. There are at least two such autism rulings, the latest in September of 2014. Judge Nicola DeLeo is the one that ruled on it. And then there was an article written about the ruling, which everyone should read, know about, because vaccines do cause autism. The Italian court in Milan ruled against GlaxoSmithKline for damages caused by its hexavalent vaccine Infanrix, Hexa, which is given to children during their first year of life. Several factors were considered by the court to come to that decision. One important fact was the vaccine at the time administered contained thimerosal in concentrations greatly exceeding the maximum recommended levels for infants weighing only a few kilos. In Italy, thimerosal has since been banned due to its neurotoxicity. It's still present in many vaccines in the U.S. In June of 2012, another court in Rimini, Italy, ruled that the MMR vaccine caused autism in a 15-month-old boy. Isn't it an obvious legal vindication of Dr. Andrew Wakefield's hypothesis about the MMR vaccine? The Huffington Post Online reported in January of 2013 that the U.S. Vaccine Court awards millions to two children with autism. And yet California, which should be ashamed of itself for now trying to get rid of all waivers against any vaccines for your children, they're going to continue to sterilize our kids. They're going to continue to make them sick. When they say by 2035, one out of two children will have autism, think vaccines, think genetically modified food, think fluoride in the water, think chemtrails in the air. It's like a total chemical assault from every which way, every direction. So after the murder of Eric Garner over selling a few loose cigarettes in New York, they came up with the bright idea of having retraining for New York police officers. And the cops went for the retraining, which cost, by the way, $35 million. And the cops that went to it said it was a waste of time. They said during the training, officers fell asleep in their seats. 8 out of 10 gave the program a negative review when they were finished. The 3-day retraining program was touted by the mayor, who said it would be cognitive and tactical. But of course, that wasn't what it was. Officers thought they were going to get some real hands-on quality training on how to deal with a hostile prisoner or arrestee. They didn't get that. What they did get was a good place to take a nap. The 3 sessions included a cultural sensitivity workshop, followed by a course on the legitimacy of policing, and the last day, training on the high-low takedown, a tactic to be used on suspects. One of the cops said it's more of a self-reflection kind of course, reflecting on how they can improve as police officers. Well, they can turn in their guns and badges for a start. All right, who's going to make the money on artificial intelligence, okay? And yes, I do know that technology has a lot of positive things that can be used for. I just have learned by experience in all my years on Earth that when man seems to get new technology, they find out a way to weaponize it. So who's going to make the money on artificial intelligence? Well, according to a new report by Goldman Sachs, AI is defined as any intelligence exhibited by machines or software. That could mean machines that learn and improve their operations over time or make sense of huge amounts of disparate data. While other industry insiders are confident AI will continue to evolve at a much higher rate while affecting wage growth in many industries. In other words, your job's going away. Ray Kurzweil, the director of engineering at Google, believes human-level AI is coming by 2029. And who are the players going to be? Several big tech companies have been storing up patents related to the field. IBM, who helped out Hitler, is the leader with about 500 patents related to artificial intelligence. Their supercomputer, which they call Watson, is an example of the shift to AI as it entered the healthcare sector in 2013 and helped lower the error rate in cancer diagnosis by physicians. Other big patent players include Microsoft, Google, and SAP. A lot of big tech companies have also been buying AI startups. In the last 2 years, Google bought 5 different companies having to do with technologies like image recognition, natural language processing, and neural networks. Yahoo set its sights on boosting its image recognition and natural language processing abilities, and Twitter bought a deep learning technology last year to power its image recognition capabilities, while Home Depot uses a recently bought data analytics lab to help with their pricing. Then there are the AI startups who have received substantial amounts of funding, including Rethink Robotics and Sentient Technologies. As we continue into trans-evolution, transhumanism, and sans human beings. Meanwhile, interesting, a mummy was found hiding inside an ancient Buddha statue. Interesting. They don't know exactly how Liu Quan became a mummy, but in China and in Japan, Laos, and Korea, there is a tradition of self-mummification, where aging Buddhist monks would slowly starve themselves to eliminate decay, promoting fat and liquid, while subsisting on pine needles and resin to facilitate the mummification process. Once these monks were near death, they'd be buried alive with just a breathing tube to keep them holding on so they could meditate until death. Interesting way to make an exit. Okay, let's see what else we've got. I don't want to cover Homeland Security. Been there, done that. And in the up is down is up, black is white is black world, a jury this week awarded $218.5 million in a terrorism case against Palestinian groups. The Palestinians, who, by the way, the Israelis now have cut off their water and their electric while it's freezing in their country, God's chosen ones. The Palestinian Authority and Palestinian Liberation Organization found liable Monday before their role in knowingly supporting 6 terrorist attacks in Israel between 2002 and 2004, in which Americans were killed and injured. But Rachel Corrie didn't get any satisfaction, or her family, last week against Israel killing that American. And I don't see any charges yet against Israel for their war against Gaza this year. So, you know, up is down is up. Don't expect justice anywhere because it just doesn't exist. Meanwhile, the selling off of Detroit continues. Detroit's tax foreclosure is crushing families and robbing county funds. The foreclosure crisis so dire, local activists compared it to Hurricane Katrina. They're calling it a hurricane without water. One family's home was sold at an auction for a fraction of their debt. And last but not least, many of Jeb Bush's foreign policy advisors should be brought before the International Criminal Court. But you and I both know that's not going to happen. An aide to Bush's Right to Rise Political Action Committee confirmed a group of 21 veteran foreign policy experts advising Bush, many of which worked in the administrations of George Herbert Walker Bush and George W. the Idiot King. The list includes a number of former government officials that should be defending themselves at the International Criminal Court at The Hague. James Baker, there you see the same names, George Shultz, Tom Ridge, Michael Chertoff, all the same players, Michael Hayden, Porter Goss, Stephen Hadley. On and on. And let's not leave out the project for the New American Century, Paul Wolfowitz and Robert Zoellick. John Negroponte. These people never go away. But he wants us to believe he's going to be different than his brother and his father. And we'll have Mo, Larry, and Curly to take the United States all the way to the bottom and just destroy what little is left. Anyway, here we are approaching the weekend. Get outside. Try to enjoy some nature. Stay out of the matrix. You know, we can be aware of what's going on, but non-participation is key, my friends. And I will see you guys on Monday. Thanks for supporting the show. The show only exists because of your subscriptions or your donations. Thank you. I'll see you guys Monday.
Thank you for listening and supporting the Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.